So I was mentioning earlier that we had a wonderful church in the park last Sunday. And of course, church in the park always means a potluck. One of the things I'm always amazed by when we have church potlucks is how everyone brings just one thing to share. But when it all comes together, there is so much there. Seems there is so much more. Well, I want to share a little reading from Mark about such a gathering. There again was a great crowd without anything to eat. Jesus called his disciples and said, I'm feeling compassionate toward the crowd because they've been with me now for 3 days and they don't have any food left. If I send them away hungry to their homes, they may faint along the way. I love this translation. And some of them have come a great distance. The disciples replied, how can we feed this many people with bread out here in this desert? And Jesus says, well, how many loaves do you have? And the disciples answer, and we don't know whether this is a literal answer or a symbolic answer, but their answer is, we have seven. Seven's a number of completion. It means enough, enough. So Jesus orders the crowd to sit down, and then he takes the seven loaves and gives thanks and breaks them and hands them back to the disciples to give to everybody. I appreciate that. It's the disciples that distribute the seven loaves to the thousands of people. They also had a few small fish, and after blessing those, he ordered the disciples should distribute them as well. And everyone ate, and everyone was filled. And when the disciples took up the broken pieces and what was left over, they had seven baskets full. Seven baskets full. It's an interesting story. Did God really multiply the bread and the fish? Or did the disciples act of lovingly being willing to share all that they had? And Jesus' prayer of gratitude and blessing, did that somehow open the hearts and maybe the food bags of the people who were among the crowd? I think either way is possible. And either way would actually constitute a miracle in my mind. Either one. A divine feeding would certainly be a miracle. I've experienced at least once where bread showed up where clearly there had been absolutely none a few moments before. That was interesting. But I've also been in places where I've seen people's hearts open. And then suddenly they begin sharing. And as I say, both of those, I consider equal miracles. Equal miracles. I believe the same thing can happen as with the potluck, as with the feeding when we come here to church. Just like at a potluck, each one of us comes here and we bring a little bit of trust, a little bit of faith, a little bit of willingness to change or open or grow. We don't have to bring a whole lot. Yet the collective energy of our willingness and our trust and our faith, when it all comes together, is enough to nourish and support us in ways that our own individual little portion never could. It's a miracle in a sense of its own. And the more often the group comes together and shares and partakes of that, the more potential we have for a major shift, major opening in our thinking, in our understanding, in our hearts. Just like the potluck. Of course, we don't have to have a huge group for something like that to happen. Anytime one of us notices something good, something holy, something sacred in anyone, we have just shared with that person. Jesus comments, wherever two or more are gathered, there it's happening, right there. It doesn't take the whole crowd. And so in that moment of showing, of acknowledging that goodness, that holiness, that whatever we see in that other, we bless them, and in the acknowledgement, it blesses us. And what was there is multiplied. often like to remind us that our friends, the Buddhists, say there's really three important components for growing a spiritual life. The first, they would say, is the Buddha. Of course, this includes the historic Buddha, whose name simply means the one who is awake, the one who is awake to what's going on. They would say it also includes the Buddha nature present in each one of us. We would call it the Christ nature in our tradition. You can call it whatever you like. It is that divine presence, that spark that's here in each one of us. It goes with us wherever we go. The second component, they would say, is called the Dharma. Dharma, in its larger sense, simply means ultimate truth or the teachings. In its personal sense, though, the word Dharma means the unfolding of our individual lives, which are each considered to be perfect pathways to spiritual truth. Your life, just as it's unfolding, just as it's opening up, messy or tidy or both, according to their teaching, is the perfect pathway to lead you to absolute awareness, absolute awareness. And the final component is they call sangha, or community. It's the gathering of students and learners and teachers that all come together. And that's us. That's us, wherever we show up and gather together. In the teachings of the Buddha, that presence of the community is an integral part of our spiritual awakening. And of course, inwardly, we're all Buddhas. We're all Christed beings. So everywhere we go, there we are surrounded by that, by that. And as we open up more to that and as we acknowledge it in others, the banquet, the feast grows bigger and bigger and bigger. Maybe that's why at the very end of the Gospel of Luke, as Jesus is preparing to leave, he says to his disciples, stay here together in the city, Jerusalem. Stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high. That's how it's worded in my Bible. Stay here in the city of Jerusalem until you've been clothed with power from on high. I take that to mean stay together, stay connected in this sacred community we have formed until you experience your Christ nature, that spiritual power arising in you. Till you wake up. So, God can lovingly support us, and we can lovingly support each other. But what about those who are no longer physically present with us? People like Jesus or the Buddha or others. What about them? Seems pretty clear to me that each of us is at times guided, helped along our way by non-physical beings. People who temporarily don't happen to be in a body. We can remember Jesus says, you know, remember, I'm with you all the way to the end of this age, all the way to the end of this experience. Body or no body. Many people understand that we are a heck of a lot more than just physical bodies. That there is a part in us that continues on long after we lay this body down. And if that spirit or that soul present in us or others has intelligent and intention, doesn't it make sense that it would find ways to share that understanding or that support with us, body or no body? When I do memorial services, I often have people tell me that they have experienced some type of connection or communication with loved ones who have recently passed on. They find it quite comforting. Sometimes it's also a way of them helping to, sometimes they also find it helpful for closure with a relationship that may seem to have been interrupted or cut short by the passing that's just happened. Other people experience connection or communication with Jesus or other spiritual teachers, those who have long since left physical bodies. When the Fillmores were starting Unity, they said very clearly they felt they were being led and directed by the presence of Jesus, the mind that was in Jesus. The book, A Course in Miracles, that John mentioned earlier, was dictated and channeled by the mind or the consciousness of Jesus. When the woman who was noticing the words showing up in her mind and willing to write them down asked, "Why me?" the interesting little answer that popped into her head was, "Well, because you would be willing, because you would do it, of course." Very simple. One of my first major spiritual experiences, which included a healing, happened about 20 years ago. I was inwardly guided by an intelligence that wasn't my own thinking, and it had a lot to do with forgiveness. It was very helpful. But at the time, I was sitting in a room listening to a man who had for a number of years been getting words showing up in his head that came from the mind of Jesus. That was his experience, and he would share them with the people that gathered. And while the ideas that showed up in my mind that prompted my experience and my healing didn't say, "Jim, this is Jesus," it seemed pretty clear to me the source from which the ideas came. It's interesting that throughout time, even in biblical times and on forward, people have experienced spiritual teachers, words and guidance showing up in their minds, teachers who are no longer physically present with us but are there. Why would we think that the absence of a physical body would or could in any way limit the divine intelligence that was moving through any of God's teachers? Why would we think that? Absence of a physical body doesn't seem to limit God in the slightest. Why would it limit God's creations? I had a recent example of that intelligence continuing to move with our Wednesday night class last week. We've been listening to Dr. Deepak Chopra. We're working out of a little book he has called Seven Spiritual Laws of Success. And in last week's class, he was talking about how nature, a word he sometimes substitutes for God, for those that have trouble with the word God, I find him very gentle with that, how nature moves effortlessly through its creations. So it wasn't surprising that after I read the chapter, which had a lot to do with acceptance and non-defensiveness, defenselessness actually was the word he used, that I get inspired to just randomly open my Course in Miracles book and see what it has to say for me. Have any of you ever done that with a Bible or a book that's special to you and just open the book and see what's at the top of the page? So I open the book and it opens up to the workbook session in lesson 135, which of course is on defenselessness, exactly what I'd been reading about. Here's the top of the page it opened to, the first paragraph. "What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events past, present, and to come, are gently planned, organized by one whose only purpose is your good? Perhaps you've misunderstood his plan, for he would never offer pain to you, but your defenses did not let you see his loving blessing shine in every step you ever took. While you made plans for death, he led you gently to eternal life." So from reading Deepak's thing on defenselessness and acceptance, what could you not accept if you knew that everything that happens, past, present, and to come, are gently planned, organized by one whose only purpose is your good? Perhaps your defenses didn't let you see the loving blessings. Why am I always surprised when stuff like that happens? Right? Why are any of us surprised when stuff like that happens? A couple paragraphs before, there was an interesting comment about our ego, our human level thinking. I liked this. "A healed mind does not plan, A healed mind does not plan. It carries out the plans it receives through listening to wisdom that is not its own. It waits until it has been taught what should be done, and then proceeds to do it. It doesn't depend on itself for anything except adequacy to fulfill the plans given it. It is secure in certainty that obstacles cannot impede its progress to accomplish any goal that serves the greater plan established for the good of all. A healed mind is relieved of the belief that it must plan, although it cannot know the outcome which is best, or the means by which it should be achieved, or how to recognize the problem that the plan was meant to solve. Learning to let go of planning, and then to develop first willingness and then the ability to listen, can literally put us in touch with what I call the infinite organizing intelligence. Another good word for God. Infinite organizing intelligence, whose only purpose is not just my personal good, but the good of everyone all at once, simultaneously. Win, 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 win. No lose. Win, 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 win for everyone. I believe that God, that infinite organizing intelligence, is constantly moving in and through every part of creation, every part of our lives, blessing us and multiplying the individual gifts we have to share. Sometimes we experience that loving support directly from our source. Maybe through inspirations, maybe through a dream, who knows? Sometimes it seems to come through one of God's teachers. Teachers in bodies, or maybe teachers who don't use bodies anymore. Who knows? We may experience that loving support through the collective consciousness or awareness of our church community or any other sacred gathering that we attend. Feel it there. Or maybe some person just walks up and shares some little thought with us, something that popped into their mind. They may have not have had any intent to share anything special, but when we hear it, there is a divine message there. Have you ever had that one happen? Oh, yeah. Or the song that comes on the radio. Or maybe we just go up and say hi to somebody and share some little thought that happens to pop up in our mind. And they experience our words as God speaking to them. No limit. No limit to what God, that infinite organizing intelligence, can do, as it constantly feeds us and loves us and supports us through whatever means we're willing to open up to. To help us remember that during the week, because that's an easy one to forget, I put a little affirmation in the back of today's bulletin. It simply says, I am lovingly supported by friends, both seen and unseen. Together we say, I am lovingly supported by friends, both seen and unseen. And again, I am lovingly supported by friends, both seen and unseen. One more time. I am lovingly supported by friends, both seen and unseen. Close your eyes and let that thought settle in for just a minute. Imagine if, when you went to bed at night, and you laid your head on your pillow, if you knew that the whole time you were sleeping, you were being lovingly supported by friends, friends you have seen around you and friends you did not see. And imagine that when you get up in the morning and you get out of your bed and you begin your morning routine, that right there in that moment, you are being supported by friends, lovingly supported. Maybe those that are there with you in your morning routine, or maybe those that you do not yet see with human eyes. And as you go through your day, as you do whatever your activities of your day are, that you are aware that each and every moment you are lovingly supported by friends, both seen and unseen. Both seen and unseen. What could you not accept if you but knew that everything that happens, all events, past, present, yet to come, are being gently organized by one whose only purpose is your good? In every moment, we are being lovingly supported by friends, seen and unseen. Let's open our eyes and share that together again. Together we say, I am lovingly supported by friends, both seen and unseen. And one last time, I am lovingly supported by friends, both seen and unseen. And so I believe it is.